This is the Daily Circuit. Time now for a check-in, our weekly check-in with political junkie Ken Rudin, who joins us every Monday. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Tom, and happy opening day.
Who's your team?
Well, I grew up in a small town called the Bronx, so I really don't have much of a choice.
Well, I'm sorry for you because everyone outside of the Bronx. No, I won't. I won't generalize.
It is bad because we haven't won the World Series since 2009, and I'm just, I can't deal with this.
I feel so bad
very
for
tense.
You.
I'm very tense.
Yes, I will play the violin for you later. On the Affordable Care Act, big deadline day. Do we know where people stand right now and whether they like this? Do they think that's a success or a failure?
Well, it depends on who you ask, of course. If you ask the administration, they'll say that, you know, more and more millions are signing up, that all the problems with the website have long been fixed, although the website was down early this morning and last night. But they just say that the response to it is more encouraging, and that's good. The Republicans and opponents of the Affordable Care Act are saying, well, it's not so good. There are a lot of people who are trying to sign up and can't do it, and that's why that so-called deadline that's ostensibly for tonight is really not going to happen tonight. The White House, once again, will extend the deadline. And the Republicans say, and with some justification, that it's likely that big premium increases are going to be expected, and Democrats are scared to death of what we know how voters are going to perceive this and how they're going to take it out, if they're going to take it out on the Democrats.
So as we heard from our last guest here, you know, in the next coming weeks or whenever, we are going to get more and more numbers are going to come out about how many people have been signed up. And as you said, so many million. So we're just going to hear that million number, what, for the whole campaign? That becomes the tagline?
Well, yes. I mean, of course, and, you know, and we saw on the Sunday talk shows, I mean, Democrats are lauding the numbers and Republicans are saying, well, the Democrats are cooking the books. So, of course, it depends on whom you believe. But the point also is that we'll see how it affects you, the individual, in the pocketbook. And if it does at all, you can make the case that the way life was before the Affordable Care Act, that was unacceptable. We could never go back to that. But Republicans will say, well, maybe just some of this large government interference in something that is not really working well is not the way to do it. It's not only about numbers, it's also about how the two political parties portray it.
Last week, a group of six senators, five Democrats, one independent, penned an op-ed in Politico. They offered a list of fixes. They said, let's fix Affordable Care Act. Here's what we'd like to see changed about it. What's the importance of that kind of a move, Ken?
Well, there is tremendous debate within the Democratic Party on how to deal with it. Obviously, in 2010, didn't expect the reaction from the voters to be so overwhelmingly negative, and that's how the Tea Party and the Republicans took control of the House. The Democrats are just saying that, well, either we just say, well, you know, we get on the defensive, or what we do is say, look, this may not be the perfect solution. It's better than what we had, but we can fix it. And I think what they're trying to do is, look, you know, don't be the Republican Party, which every time there's a vote in the House, it's to repeal it or defund it or something like that. That's not the answer these Democrats say. They're saying, let's it may not be the most popular thing in the world, but it can be fixed and it can be repaired in time.
Of those six senators who wrote that op-ed, I believe four of them are up for re-election this year in states where it's going to be a tough fight for those Democrats in this U.S. Senate race.
Well, that's exactly the point. I mean, the point is the Republican, we keep saying, we've said this over several other cycles, that the Republicans have a good chance of winning control in the Senate. But in the 2014 elections, the Republicans need a net gain of six seats. And while that is a lot, these seats are in red states, in Romney states, in the South Dakota, West Virginia, Montana, Arkansas, Louisiana, Alaska, North Carolina. These are states that Romney took in 2012. These are states where Republicans seem to be on the ascendancy and where Democrats are clearly on the defensive.
Now, one of those senators who wrote the letter who's not up for reelection is Heidi Heitkamp. She's a Democrat from North Dakota, and she spoke here on NPR News on Morning Edition last week. I want to play just a little bit of what she said then.
You know, we've got a situation where small businesses don't want, on top of everything that they have to do, have a lot of heavy record-keeping burden, and they don't want to become experts in healthcare. And so we're raising the limit from 50 employees to 100. And what that means is that 98% of all American businesses will be exempt from the business mandate. But we also are encouraging those under 100 to actually buy insurance by making the tax credits and the tax exemptions work a little bit better for them.
Now, that was Heidi Heitkamp talking about one of the specific ideas in this article in Politico about how to change the Affordable Care Act. But Ken, 98% really jumps out at me when she says, let's change the business mandate of you have to offer it. Right now it's 50 employees, let's change it to 100.
No, those are daunting numbers, and I think the reason Heidi Heitkamp is put forward is because in the, one of those Senate races in 2012, where the Democrats were convinced they were going to lose, was in North Dakota, and Heidi Heitkamp spoke the right language for them, was a better campaigner, out-hustled her Republican opponent, and in such a very, very red state, President Obama got clobbered in North Dakota, yet Heidi Heitkamp won a Senate seat there. So I think the reason they're putting her forward is yet made the numbers maybe look daunting, they may not look great for Democrats who are nervous about 2014. But if Heidi Heitkamp could win in very red North Dakota, perhaps these Democrats could win in 2014. And that's why Heidi Heitkamp is put up there.
So do they just have to talk the talk and say this is what we should change? Or will there be action this year, you know, in quote unquote the hopes of, you know, will the Senate Dems want to have votes on this year so that they can, you know, say they're fixing the law?
Absolutely not, because that's a very good point. Yes, these, as you pointed out, yes, these six, you know, moderate centrist Democrats are proposing bringing up these proposals, and we may hear something as early as Thursday of this week. But does Harry Reid want to have a prolonged debate on the Senate floor about Obamacare? Absolutely not. He would rather talk about, you know, extending minimum wage or the pay gap between men and women. Those are issues where there's going to be no action either in final passing. But they feel that politically it sells much better than the Affordable Care Act. It's one thing for these Democrats to say, "Here's how we would change it." We'll introduce these laws, but Harry Reid does not want a prolonged debate on the Senate floor.
Ken Rudin is with us, the political junkie with us every Monday here on the Daily Circuit. And let's shift away a little bit from the Affordable Care Act to what you were just talking about. There are going to be some votes, I guess, in the near future in the Senate to what you were just saying there, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, look, this is a political year, and I mean, a lot of people in the country roll their eyes and say, well, nothing gets done because it's all politics. And that's true. And so just as the Republicans will continue to have these votes in the House about repealing Obamacare, which, of course, will never happen because there's a guy named Obama in the White House, and he would veto it, and not to mention it would never get through the Senate. Mm-hmm. So Democrats in the Senate are doing the same thing. They want to have votes on extending the minimum wage, on closing tax loopholes, on talking about the pay gap, as I said before, between men and women. Will it pass Congress? Of course not. But they would love to put Republicans on the defensive and saying, well, you know, we're not, you know, we're for the American people, and Republicans are out of touch. Now, the Republicans will say the Democrats are avoiding the issue. The real issue is the Affordable Care Act and how it affects people, and they're just trying to change the subject. So, but the Democrats say, well, look, you know, vote, if you don't like this, then vote against it or campaign against it. So it's all about politics, and it's actually a good thing it's all about politics, because otherwise I'd have nothing to talk about on Monday mornings with you.
Well, another political storyline that comes back as it is wont to do is Chris Christie. He kind of got back in the spotlight last week, gave a news conference, some interviews, spoke at a few big events. I assume, Ken, he's on a kind of recovery from scandal walk or road.
Well, that's what he's hoping for, certainly. He's trying to put the George Washington Bridge lane tie-up behind him. He's trying to say, okay, it's old news. Coincidentally, a panel that I appointed has exonerated me, and that's really great, of course.
Right.
There is a U.S. attorney investigation as well as a New Jersey legislative investigation going into Christie, so he's not off the hook yet. But he did have that report last Thursday saying that exonerates him, that he's absolved of any role in the scandal, and therefore he could look ahead to his real goal, which seems to be the Republican nomination for president 2016, but he's mistaken if he thinks it's behind him already.
You know, though, Ken, it doesn't seem like the issue is as much about the legality or political reason for closing a lane on a bridge as it has to do with a testament to the Chris Christie personality. And is this the kind of president you would want in the White House?
That is absolutely true. I mean, we've seen political retribution going on forever from both parties, and that is a new thing at all. But the thing is, if the narrative about Chris Christie is that he's a bully and that it's all about him and it's my way or the highway, then this kind of action just reinforces it. You can make all the cases you want that, well, the commission absolved him, but you know, there's also indication that he may have thrown his longtime loyal aides under the bus, to use that expression over and over again. Mm-hmm. So the narrative of him as a bully and the way he deals with his opponents is something that voters obviously will see as we get closer and closer to 2016.
My way or the highway, just not by way of the George Washington Bridge.
That's exactly right.
Ken Rudin, political junkie, joins us every Monday and is apparently going to be rooting for the Yankees today for some reason, but we appreciate your time here this morning.
I'm rooting for the Twins as well.
Well, okay, I appreciate it. We'll take who we can get.